Tonight, I want to preach on something that's connected with what we talked about this morning. This morning we talked about breaking the cycle, and that you need to understand that you need to realize that the cycle exists, or recognize the cycle, and remember the results of it, and then reclaim the remedy. All those things, getting out of the cycle and becoming a spiritual person, even getting saved, requires faith. And so tonight I want to talk about complete faith and what faith is really all about. You know, we should want increased faith. In Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 6, Christ is talking to his disciples. And said, "Then said he unto the disciples, is impossible but that offenses will come." Basically what Christ is saying, he says, stumbling is going to come. There's going to be people that's going to put problems in your way. And there are going to be challenges to your faith. And it says, "But woe unto him through whom they come." In Proverbs it talks about that he who causes a dissension among the brethren is an abomination to God. We're not supposed to put a stumbling block in front of others. In Romans 14. In verse 2 it says, "It is better for him that a millstone was hung around his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." Talking about children, but it's also the same thing. God hates stumbling blocks. God hates people that basically put hindrances in the way of people walking in faith. Verse 3, it says, "Take heed to yourselves." Just like this morning, that these things were an example for our admonition. Christ has given us a warning here. "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, and saying, I repent, thou shalt" what? "Forgive him." We can't be motive checkers. All we need to do is deal with the situations that we come with and apply spiritual principles to it, and then apply God's truth to it, and then go on from there. The truth will be found out. Reality will come out. It's not your choice to be a detective. It's our requirement to be a Christian. And in verse 5... so, the disciples hear this. And sometimes we hear these requirements. And we say, wow, that's what I need to do? And the disciples are astounded here. It says, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith." It's tough. It's tough to overlook a trespass. It's tough to overlook a stumbling block. It's tough when people say things against you. It's tough when people change words, like they were talking about, like Ricky was talking about Wednesday night, about but who a Christian really is. It's tough to follow the truth now in a day when the world doesn't want to follow that. Folks, we need to increase our faith. But then Christ said this. It said, and the Lord said, if, and we used this as an illustration a couple of weeks ago with the kids, if you had faith, if ye had faith. And so what Christ is saying here, if you've got some trouble, you better check out your faith. Because I've given you everything that you need in order to endure all these things. He says, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And it should obey you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you, this time of study, Lord, and preaching, Lord, I pray that this would encourage our hearts about how to have complete faith. Father, I just pray that you just once again be with our church and help us, Lord, to do what you want us to do, Lord. And help us, Lord, to be shining examples of faith to a lost and dying world. Father, help us, Lord, not to forget what you've done for us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, if you're taking notes, we're going to use the word faith as an acrostic. And so we're going to look at five things about what complete faith is to the believer. The first one is that we need faith to follow. We need faith to follow. So there's the F. F stands for follow. See, what we need to do is you have faith to follow. What that's going to do is it's going to make God's way your way. There's a story in Mark chapter 10 about a blind man. His name was Bartimaeus. And he's along the roadside and he hears the crowd with Jesus coming in the crowd. And he knew that Jesus could heal him. And he cries out to Jesus. He says, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And he's crying out. And he's crying out. And the crowd said, "Be quiet! Be quiet! Woe to who what? Throws stumbling blocks in the way." And then he keeps on crying out the more. And they say, "The Master wants to talk to you." And so in verse 52, Christ gives him his sight because he says, "What do you want me to do?" And he says, "I now receive my sight." And he receives his sight. And look at what happens. "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Look at what Jesus said here. He says, "Go thy way." But then once Bartimaeus understood who Jesus was and what Jesus did for his life, Bartimaeus' way wins Jesus' way. As we see in the last part, he says, "And he followed Jesus in the way." So faith to follow means that we make God's way our way. The second thing is it makes God's focus your focus. God's focus, your focus. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, Paul writes this. He says, "But thou, O man of God." Now he's talking to Timothy, who was a pastor in a church. But you know, we're all men and women of God. We're all children of God. We should all have these same attributes. We should be following Jesus. He says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." What things? The pursuit of money, youthful lust, all these other things. And what? Follow after righteousness, godliness. And what's in the middle of this? Faith. Love, patience, meekness. You know, there are some people out there, it's tough to love. You need faith to do that. There are some people out there, it's hard to have patience with. You need faith to do that. Here's some people out there just rub you the wrong way and you just want to get in their face. Yeah. It takes faith to see things God's way. It takes faith to make God's focus your focus. So the first thing is make God's way your way. Makes God's focus your focus. And then lastly, make God's goals your goals. See, that's faith to follow. Make God's goals your goals. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "That ye be not slothful." Now, if the writer of Hebrews, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying, "Be not slothful," obviously the readers in this book are what? Being slothful. And today, people are slothful. We're sloppy with our faith. We're slothful with church attendance. We're slothful with ministry. And it says, "Be not slothful, but what? Followers of them who what? Through faith and patience inherit the promise." If you want God to do something for you, you need to follow Him. This morning we talked about the man that came to Christ and said, "What should I do to inherit eternal life?" He says, "You lack one thing." You lack one thing, which was a tough thing for him. Give up everything and follow me. Follow me. Question. Do you have faith to follow tonight? or use faith as a punchline to say, to maybe be politically correct in the crowd that you're in. Folks, faith changes people. It changed Bartimaeus. It made him follow Jesus. Check out God. See what he does. And we need to see if we have faith to follow. Secondly, we need faith to act. So the A in faith is for action. A familiar passage, we're going to break it down in three parts in James chapter 2. The first thing is faith to act is faith to help. Faith to act is faith to help. In James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" I.e., if you don't have a real living faith, that faith's not going to save you. Just because you say you have something doesn't mean you have it. I could say that I'm a rocket scientist, but I'm not a rocket scientist, although I have an engineering degree in that. But the issue is that we have to back up our words. We need faith to act. It says, can faith save it? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food. See, this is the easy one. It should be very easy to help people in the church. In Galatians, Paul writes, he says, you're supposed to be good to all men, especially to what? Those of the household of faith. And one of you say unto them, so you see a need, and you say you're following God, and you don't do anything about it. James is saying that's not faith. And so he says, a brother and sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give him not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And then verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. There's a lot of people today that say they have faith, but they have dead faith. Because they're not willing to help anything. It's about me and nobody else. We need faith to follow. We need faith to act to help. We need faith to act hope. In the next part of this passage here in verse 18 through 24, it says, yea, if a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe in trouble. Just because someone says they believe God doesn't mean they're going to heaven. There's a lot of people, they say they know God. They use it every day as a cuss word. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Here it goes again. Same principle. Now, let's get another example. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? That took faith. That took some faith to listen to God saying, I want you to sacrifice your son, the son of promise. And Abraham went and did it. And then what? God provided himself a sacrifice. In verse 22, it says, seeing, now we know the story. So, looking at Abraham, it says, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Why? God intervened, and he showed himself strong because Abraham was willing to take the first step and to do what God told him to. And the scripture was fulfilled, which say, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. See ye then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. See, it's a faith connected with action. If there's no action, dead people have no life signs. They don't move. They don't do anything. And so it's faith to help. It's faith to hope. And then thirdly, it's faith to heed. The last part of this passage is kind of related to the subject we were talking about this morning with the kids. Jericho. And before they went, they started marching around Jericho and doing all this stuff. They sent spies in there, and a man and a lady by the name of Rahab took the spies in, hid them, and did this. Why did she do that? She realized that God had given Jericho to the Israelites. Realized that God had done all those things in the past, and He was going to do things in the future. She had faith. She had faith. It hadn't happened yet. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. How many times have we broken promises? And we know the story of Rahab. So she hides them. Then she says, go out another way. Then she tells the people, hey, went that away, and actually went the other way. And what did they say to do? When we come to the city, you hang a scarlet line out your window. And we'll recognize that scarlet line. And your house will be saved. And everybody in your house will be saved. You know something? That scarlet line represents Christ. We talked about this morning that Rahab is in the lineage of Christ. In verse 25 it says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified? Well, she's a harlot. She can't possibly do anything. Folks, I guarantee you'll never do anything if you'd never try. God can take the vilest sinner and make him clean. We sing the song. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Sweetheart, you want to check, see if the stream's going on, because we had problems with that all day. So the issue is, do we have faith to follow? And then we do have faith to act. Number three, we need faith that's indwelt. We need faith that's indwelt. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul writes this prayer, and he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? Faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. See, not only does it need to be put in our heart, it needs to be rooted and grounded and grow. And then he goes on here, and if you have faith indwelt in your life, then 18 and 19 apply to you. And so he goes on in this passage, says, if Christ dwells in your heart by faith, and you're rooted and grounded in love, no matter what comes, no matter what happens, you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. If you have faith dwelling in you, you'll know the love of Christ. And you'll be able to share the love of Christ, as John writes in 1 John. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, if you have faith indwelt, you'll have faith to follow. You'll have faith to act. You'll have faith to understand who God is and how much He really loves you. Have you ever really sat back and thought every day about how much God truly loves you? It's awesome. It's awesome. Which leads to our fourth point. Faith in total. Today, in today's world, there's people that like to cherry pick. They say, I have faith to do this. But that faith doesn't go through the rest of their lives. I have faith not to do this. But folks, we're supposed to have faith in every area of our life. If you say, I have faith not to get a shot, not to get sick, and that faith's not in every piece of your life, you're a hypocrite. Your life must reflect total faith. Every one of our lives have to reflect total faith. It takes total commitment. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, do all things without murmurings and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Folks, there's total commitment. It was total commitment so much that Paul said, based on your faith, Philippian church, I'm willing to give myself, my life for you. We should be willing to take up our cross and follow Christ. We're supposed to lay down our lives for the brethren. We're supposed to do all that stuff. We're supposed to be. That takes total commitment. We don't get to pick and choose the issues that we're going to have faith in and then dismiss other issues that we should have faith in. We don't. And it saddens me that over the last year and a half, there's been such division over this virus thing. And if you do this, you don't have faith. And if you do this, you have faith and stuff like that. No, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And that's what Romans 14 talks about. We need to take total commitment. We need to have faith that's total in everything. And not on what we want to pick and choose. Secondly, it provides total protection. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How many darts? All of them. See, we're supposed to have enough faith that nothing Satan can do to us will get through. We talked about this morning, about realizing that we need to sell out to God. And it's total protection. All the fiery darts of the wicked. And then it leads to a total walk. It leads to a total walk. In Numbers chapter 12, there's a story about Miriam and Aaron. And they come up to Moses and said, Moses, you're out of God's will because you married this Ethiopian woman. And they start throwing accusations at Moses and everything else. And God says, I've had enough. And the Lord appears. See, the Lord's going to intervene if we have total faith. He's going to come. He understands what we're going through. Just like in our text, it's woe to them who make the offense come. And there were some things that happened to Miriam. And there were some things that she didn't like. She got leprosy. But in verse 7 in Numbers chapter 12, basically, God speaks directly to Moses' brother and sister and said, look, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Folks, that's total faith. First of all, it takes faith to be identified as a servant. A servant is one who follows. A servant is one who acts. A servant is one who is devoted and has this faith indwelt. A servant is one that will trust his master to do those things. And then he says, Moses is not like you. Folks, we're not supposed to be like other people. We're supposed to be a peculiar people, a holy nation. And we're supposed to be different. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Could God say about that about us tonight? Could he make a statement like he made to Job? About, have you considered my servant Job? One who is upright and eschews evil, hates evil. He sees things my way. He understands that I'm providing. Have you considered him? Folks, do we have total faith? Do we have faith that's indwelt? Do we have faith that's acting? Do we have faith to follow? Lastly, as I close tonight, faith that's holy. Faith that's holy. In Jude verse 20, it says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy God, in the Holy Ghost. And then it goes on and says, on some having compassion, making a difference. See, we need to understand what this phrase in here says. It's just not holy faith. It's most holy faith. And we need to understand what that really entails. It means that this faith needs to permeate every part of our lives. Every situation. Every person we meet. Wherever we are. Whenever we are. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 it says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Folks, if we have the faith of God, it's got to come out. If we have the faith of God, we're going to do what God wants us to do. We'll follow him.
That's right.
We'll help and we'll hope and we'll listen. We know God is with us. We know that we have protection with him. We know that we'll be committed to him. You know, as Paul wrote, he says, but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Do we have faith that is holy? That's what we need. I close with this verse. We started with the verse where the apostles are saying what? They're saying, increase our faith. You want us to do this? The walk of faith, the walk of a believer is a walk of faith. You can't do it on your own. You can't say, I'll do things my way in this area of my life, and then I'll do things God's way in this area of my life. It's a total commitment. It's a total commitment. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says this. It says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And here's the reality. For all men have not faith. Tonight, do you have faith? Do you have saving faith? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know if you die right now, you go to heaven? That's the start. But Peter writes, he says, given all this, add to your faith all these other things. James writes that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He says, if you have faith, you can do these things. Do we have faith tonight? Because there's a world out there that wants to destroy everything that's holy and everything that's godly. Going the opposite way. We don't need to follow it. We need to defeat it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask, help us, Lord, to have faith, to follow, faith to act, faith that's inside of us, Lord, faith that's total, and Lord, faith that's holy. Lord, I pray that you just watch over us, Lord, and that you help us, Lord, to be examples of faith. As Paul said, I'm a follower of, be followers of me as I'm a follower of Christ. Lord, help us to live by faith and not by sight. We give you this time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.